And welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin Walter, the host. True Wealth, of course, is sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is, as always, your full-service rare coin, precious metals broker, dealer, depository service, always involved in buying and selling all forms of rare coins and precious metals and scrap gold, jewelry, and diamonds. Scrap gold means anything that is gold that you don't want that is not bullion or a coin. Old jewelry, necklaces, dental gold, gold foil, gold foil. I mean, we buy all kinds of stuff over the years. I couldn't even tell you. I've bought platinum beakers from Bunker Hill Mines. And, I mean, we buy a lot of that stuff. We refine it. We're the top buyer in the area, in the region. We're the highest payer. We're very competitive. We're very fair. And we refine all that stuff, and we make it into something new again. A lot of it ends up back in jewelry or coins or whatever. A lot of people have sentimental attachments to old pieces of jewelry. You just have to realize that the next person down the road isn't going to have that same attachment to your Uncle Fred's used, Kiwanis ring. And so it's kind of funny sometimes when people are mad. They have an old, class ring from Juno High School, 1968, and they're like, you mean that doesn't have a collectible value? It's like, well, I'll have to try to find the one guy who's looking for a used Juno High School ring from 1968. Pretty rare. So, no, usually most of the stuff that we have sentimental value to doesn't pass on. People are always like, well, I would think someone would really like that. I say, when's the last time you went shopping for used jewelry? And especially when you get into anything bridal. People use bridal jewelry, folks. I mean, I don't probably even have to say it, but obviously there's absolutely no desire for that. So we melt it down. We'll buy the quality stones. We remove the stones and we pay for all that. A lot of times people ask if they'll have certain kinds of stones and they'll ask if we pay for it. In a lot of cases, garnets and things like that are worth less by weight than the gold. Diamonds can be different if they're, obviously if they're not too small. But anyway, none of that matters. What matters is we're always buying that stuff. If you got it in the drawer or know someone who does, just bring it in. Old sterling silver place settings, whatever. A lot of that stuff sits around. It's not worth sitting on. If you think you got an investment there, it's not a liquid asset. Turn it into a liquid asset. Bring in diamonds and jewelry and things like that. Get some gold coins. The premiums on gold coins are small. You're talking low single-digit percentage points. So it's not, there's nothing lost. And that way you get something, exactly what you have, exactly what it's worth. And we don't really recommend a lot of the gold coins that are sold by certain companies that are, foreign and fractional. And, they might have some weird 0.1867 troy ounces in them like the Swiss 20 franc or 0.2354 troy ounces like the sovereign. They don't say they're gold on them. They don't say how much gold is in them. They're from other countries. That stuff is not something we really recommend for bullion. We usually recommend you have something that's marked, respected, ounce, quarter ounce, half ounce, tenth ounce. You can do the math. You can trade it with people. You can sell it, whatever. So, if you've got some of that odd stuff, bring it in. Let us look at it. If you've got an old coin collection or old estate or even an investment portfolio, bring it in. We'll look at it. If you bought your coins through Parade Magazine, that's the insert in the Sunday newspaper, you didn't do good, okay? I mean, anytime you're buying stuff through mail order, you're not doing good. There are some companies, there's one company, I won't even name them because people will misunderstand what I'm saying. There's one company that sells collectible coins. Their premiums are just through the mountain. I mean, they'll charge, without exaggerating, 8 times what something's worth. That will gradually move you up to higher level coins. That will be a good, that, the problem is the coin is the investment, not the price you pay. So if someone charges you way too much for something, it doesn't make the coin a bad investment. It makes the price you paid a bad price. And that's anytime you see mass marketing involved with our industry, that's what you're going to run into. The reason is our business by a very nature is extremely low margin. I mean, dealer to dealer trading, you would not believe, you know, when we, you know, the new Gold Eagles come out for the year, 1 ounce Gold Eagles, we literally will buy them to make a half a percent. I mean, if gold's $1,300, we literally will be making $6.50. I mean, that's just the nature of the beast. And that doesn't mean you get to pay a half a percent over. That means the U.S. Mint charges us like almost 4% over spot, and then we sell them at 4.5 or 5 or whatever. So we're making 0.5 to 1%. It's very low margin. And so when the marketing companies get a hold of it, they're thinking on terms of retail. Retail, anything is a minimum of a double markup, a lot of times triple. If you watch the shopping channel, QVC and all this, anything you see on there is marked way up. I mean, just as a fact, it'll be marked up triple to quadruple because they're cutting huge checks different directions. So that's just not a place to buy coins. If you're looking to invest, you give us a call at 444-0044. That's our local number in Spokane. So again, it's 509-444-0044 or toll-free outside the area, 877-TAP-COIN or 877-827-2646 or through our website at coinsplus.com. We treat you right. We treat you fair. We've got integrity. We do things the right way. We've been in business a long, long time. We've been, you know, we've kept a clean slate. It's what we do. Our business does have problems in it. Over the years, I've seen some of the big players go down. The way to find out, you know, it's pretty obvious when that's happening. You just go on the blog boards and stuff. And people that are getting burned will be out leaving messages or whatever. But when you're shipping thousands and thousands of dollars across the country for gold and silver, it's, you know, it's probably not that safe. If you go online and you think you found the cheapest guy in the world, that's not a very smart way to go either. It costs what it costs. You get what you pay for. I'll tell you what, that should be my theme of the show. I've learned a lesson. I tend to never rest. I've always got construction projects going, and I'm always actively involved with all kinds of stuff. And I just, you do in life, you get what you pay for. If you're, you know, the kind of person that's always out looking for something too cheap, the free lunch, you're going to end up with junk at the end of your life. And you just aren't ever going to pull the trigger. When it comes to our business, people will think literally that they'll go on eBay and buy counterfeit gold coins or counterfeit silver coins. They're out there, okay? And what's crazy is, I mean, we obviously, number one, we stand behind everything we sell 100% forever. Number two, we would never sell anything counterfeit. We know our business incredibly well. People say, well, how do you know it's gold? Well, first of all, if you come in to handle it, you'll know, okay? Secondly, I mean, we've got electronic testers, chemical testers, specific gravity machines. We've got, you know, we've got it handled, okay? If we ever have a question, we just set it on a little machine, point a wand at it, and bingo, we know. Laser testers. I mean, it's overkill. Austrons. I mean, we've got ridiculous equipment here. We don't use it that often because we know what we're doing, but it's available. So no, that's never an issue with us. We know what we're doing. But China does put out some really, really convincing, fantastic counterfeits. They're getting spread all over. People think, and when people buy it online, it's not like way, 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 way too cheap. It's just enough to appeal to their greed. I had another guy I talked to this week. I mentioned my father's in bad shape in Montana. He used to buy coins, and I got a call from a guy who had some gold with my dad, a piece of melted down gold that he wanted tested and paid for. So I did that for him, and he had gotten it from Uganda or Guyana. He got sucked into one of these email scams, I guess, at some point in time, where he starts communicating with some girl. Of course, the guy's older, and he thinks this cute girl wants him out of some other country. Next thing you know, she's telling him, and remember, on the end of the internet, just because you think you're dealing with a female, you're not. So he the perpetrator convinces this guy that they've got access to all this gold and they you know need his help to get it out of the country, and they convince him that he's going to get all these kilo bars of gold for like half or more like a third the price, you know. So the profit's ridiculous. And so he buys into it. Oh, they need a little bit of money for this. They need money to get it through customs. They need that. He's been conned now for $80,000 out of his retirement fund. And I am trying to – I'm explaining to this guy what happened. So on one hand, he's like – he accepts the fact that he's been conned, which is a terrible feeling. And on the other hand, he starts going back saying, well, so you're sure? You're sure there's no way I'm going to get this gold? Because, you know, they've got one more shipment coming. I'm like, come on, man. This guy's dumped $80,000 of his money into a scam in Guyana. You need to realize, folks, that gold is gold. Always has been, always will be. Nobody in the world needs your help to liquidate gold. He's like, well, what if they had all this gold and the government wouldn't let them get them out? I said, if you had that much gold, first of all, you're rich. I said, they could pay for another country to fly a military helicopter in to get it. I mean, the quantities he's talking about. I'm like, come on, it's gold. It's the most liquid cash asset on planet Earth because God made it, God endorsed it, authorized it, ordained it, and said it is good. And he said it is good in a Hebrew word that we don't even have, a very high, powerful, phenomenal Hebrew word. When you get into the Hebrew of things, it's amazing. God's original language was powerful, powerful stuff. He had words that were huge. And those people, as Donald Trump would say, and those people back then, you know, they were acclimated to it. We're not. Those words are big. They take, you know, the word good, tov, T-O-V-B, that God used to describe gold in the beginning in second chapter of Genesis, it takes 22 U.S. positive or positive English words to describe it. That's why gold is gold. That's why it always will be gold. That's why it goes all the way through the finish line at the end when God said people will cast their gold and silver in the streets because it does not buy them salvation. That's why we do what we do. I met with a guy this weekend from Kentucky who's a big, you know, he does these corporate, I don't know what you'd call them, these personal betterment courses for corporations. He's like a huge motivational speaker, but he goes into corporations and he tries to help people become the best that they can become. And he and I were talking a lot about the fact that people will say, I don't understand why my life's so messed up. I don't understand why God's doing this to me. And he's like, well, let's just step back and let's look at the actions in your life and we'll see if we can figure out why. Well, of course, you start going back and you start looking at the actions in their life and all of a sudden it's pretty obvious why. It's personal responsibility. There are consequences, okay? When we mess up our lives and then blame God and say, Lord, why did you let this happen to me? We need to take personal responsibility, folks. We need to live as if it's all us and pray as if it's all God. You say, well, how does that make sense? That's not living by faith. Yes, it is. You are following all the commandments of the Bible to be the best person that you can be. And then you are praying for God to bless your steps and pave the way and go before you and bless your actions and lift you up and open doors. And that's what God can do. And when you live by faith, your eyes are opened. You see life different. People, of course, criticize it. But when I was talking to this gentleman and, you know, about different paths we're on and I've, you know, done okay in life, and he was asking questions, and I said, you know, my philosophy has been for a long time, God made things very clear in the Bible. He said the things that are attributed as true wealth, okay, I've done obvious research on it. And this is what he blessed the patriarchs with. This is what he blessed the Jews and Israel with. This is what he blesses you and I with. God blesses us with material things, whether you like it or not. It doesn't mean that the material things are more important than anything else. There's all kinds of blessings. There's all kinds of gifts. But God set up an economic system, and that is the struggle right there, folks. Free market economics. That's the struggle. Our founding fathers had it figured out. They were phenomenal theologians. They were phenomenal philosophers. They understood history. These were brilliant, well-read men. You know, there's some of the most important things in history happen at a pinnacle point in time. Christ came to the earth when the Greek language was at its pinnacle, as the highest, most advanced intellectual language ever in the history of mankind. And that's when Christ comes to a town called Jerusalem, where all of the world religious leaders were centralized, the world powers, Rome was there, the local powers, everybody was together to see Christ, to see him live, die, and be resurrected. The same thing happened when America was formed. There was a time when men, when Christianity had risen to its pinnacle in the world. Everyone was a believer at some level. Now, man had failures and mistakes, and yeah. But in general, the founding fathers were all seeking complete and total wisdom. They understood where they stood with God. They had all these questions. They wondered, why am I here? What do I do? You know, and they knew, they understood the underlying factors that made our existence meaningful. They understood morality. They understood what was right, and they understood free market economics. When you look at quote-unquote liberals of the day, they're nothing like today. Nothing at all. I mean, they didn't believe the government's job was to provide for everyone. That was a theory that came later with Marxism, an absolute unbiblical, ungodly, sinful theory. And, you know, how what they had to come together with, you know, you look at Darwinism and Marxism. Those two had to go hand in hand. And then, you know, because you have to lose faith in God and everything has to be random and over billions and gajillions of years. And yes, contrary to what people say, Darwin did renounce his theory. He said it would take way, way, way too long. And we don't find any record of macro evolution on the earth. Yeah, we find other species and crazy things. Number one, the dinosaurs, I believe, could most easily have been here long before man. But, and we'll find some weird species that probably got wiped out in the flood. But we don't see this constant progression of inner, or it should be say outer species change, inner as in between. It doesn't exist. Then they say, well, it's punctuated equilibrium, where suddenly something happens and species evolve and jump to another species. I mean, come on, folks, really? It's just not the case. Just like the first life didn't come out of a rock. How it began, you and I don't know. God says he did it. He says he spoke. And that makes more sense than anything else. To think that it came out of a rock makes no sense. So if something sits long enough and builds a certain kind of soup and gets some electricity around it, then all of a sudden it's going to create life. You don't think we'd have seen that happen by now on Earth if it was even possible? I mean, it's absolutely ironic. So when I was speaking with this gentleman, we were talking about the basic categories of wealth that God has ordained. Gold and silver, okay? And these are sectors. It's so important you understand they are sectors. That they are entire global sectors. They're investment chunks, you know. So the precious metals industry, gold. God says gold and silver. The precious metals industry, livestock. You can either bundle crops in with livestock or you can bundle crops in with real estate. But it's things that live. It's life, okay? So God says, here's where wealth exists. It's in the resources of the ground that I've put there. It's in life that I've created. It's in the real estate that you live upon. It's on the rock that you live on called Earth is in and of itself, and it's an intrinsic value. We basically live on a large gem, a large jewel. It's filled with resource. It's a fixed commodity. There's no more of it. You know, so you've got the precious metals, gold and silver based. You've got livestock and maybe crops if you put it there and you don't put it in real estate. It can go either way. You've got real estate, human life. We're the ultimate pinnacle of life. We create wealth. Nothing else does. And then precious stones, which are kind of, you know, the epitome of what we're on. The thing with precious stones, I always warn people, they're not easy to trade in. They're very difficult. Diamonds are different. Diamonds are readily accepted globally. And there are beautiful sapphires and rubies and emeralds But folks, there's synthetics. There's all kinds of stuff out there. It's not something that you can jump into unknowingly. Trust me. We have a great quantity of that stuff, phenomenal quantity, literally. And it's very difficult to sort and organize, and the grading differences on color, depth, and clarity, even on a nice Ceylon sapphire, it's a process, okay? So, you know, precious stones are nice. You don't go into a retail jewelry store and buy your wife a great big tanzanite necklace and say, what a great investment I just made. If you want to do that for her, it's beautiful, you do it. But you do it because it's beautiful and because you love her and it's a novelty. And, you know, you look at it as it might be worth something. You know, it's not going to be worth near what you paid. And then you get these crazy appraisals. We run into this appraisal business a lot. We're GIA certified jewelers, but a lot of the jewelry stores will create these appraisals that are just, exorbitant. And it's just something in the industry they started doing a long time ago. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it today, but you can't always trust jewelry appraisals. I'll just leave it at that. So basically, the tangible assets that God gave us, that's where true wealth lies. If you focus your money on that, you'll do okay. People lose sight of things so bad. They will buy metals. They'll go up 10%. And their mindset is a lot of times focused on greedy speculation. They want more. They want more. What you want is to preserve and protect your finances. As we head towards this election, folks, we are heading towards a crazy time in this nation. The level of stress that's building up in this country is unbelievable, unbearable. People are seeing more stress in the workplace. I was speaking last night with a computer programmer and found out he was a flaming lefty. And was talking about something, and all of a sudden he started attacking me, and we had a talk for a while. And, you know, the bottom line is you're not going to change these people's minds. They've got this garbage spun. The liberal media, they like to attack Fox News, and I'm not going to tell you Fox is great by any means, but they don't hide their positions. A lot of the other media portrays themselves as unbiased, and yet they have the greatest bias imaginable. That's where the real trouble lies, where people think they're getting the truth, and so that these stations are out, basically trying to counter every attack. You know, they've got some video out on Donald about how mean he was to Miss Universe in 2004 in Australia, and I watched the video, and he and the woman were joking around. It looks like a cordial kind of a messing situation, and you know, and they take it out of context, and it just gets old, folks. And, you know, he was in the private sector. He hasn't been a politician. He has been in the private sector. He didn't commit to serve the public. And so, you know, people say, oh, he's so rough and rude, and he's been so shrewd. It's like, yeah, well, maybe that's who we need on our team. You know, maybe we need someone who's a little bit tough with some guts. And, you know, maybe we'll get to see some glory in this country. I've traveled around the world a fair amount, and I can tell you, they see us as a bunch of confused, emotional wimps. And we need people to see America as a country with a backbone again. And that's really who we need to be. On the last show, I kind of touched on the whole concept of cultural Marxism. To me, is some research I did recently, it's a huge thing that's just embedded in our nature. We've got this political correctness stuff, which is basically thought policing. It's controlling what you think because the connection between your mouth and your brain is very close. If you tell yourself, I can't say that, you're telling yourself, I can't think that. And they say, this is what you can say, and they're teaching you, this is what you can think. You become ashamed to have opinions that differ with society, and you begin to evolve, you begin to coalesce into what they want you to be. It really began, like I said, you've got the Darwinism, then you've got the Marxism, and Marxism is really the basis of this great anti-Christian, anti-God, and sexual revolution that has kind of overtaken this country. I have kids in their 20s, and the sexual behavior that they tell me goes on is unfathomable to me. I came from an era that was much different, but apparently this is a huge part of who they are and what they do. And Marxism is getting embedded all throughout our society. Their goal is to erode our faith through all of our institutions and media, which is obvious. They're removing all the barriers to Marxism. They have to destroy Christian culture and any religious affiliation. They have to get people dependent on the government because the government replaces religion. And it's really the indoctrination into a positive view of socialism and a negative view of capitalism. And that's really what has been going on. They're giving us a negative view of capitalism. You've heard all the attacks on capitalism. Capitalism's destroying everything. Well, if you destroy capitalism, you destroy the Constitution. In 1923, the Frankfurt School, started this new Marxism. I discussed by World War II, they moved to America and became Columbia University, where Obama supposedly went, but there's no evidence he was ever there. You know, they wanted the, you know, Marx said, workers of the world unite. Well, World War I, guess what? They didn't unite. They scattered, went back to their countries and fought for their home. To him, that was a loss. To him, that was a failure that people didn't say, we're going to all unite as workers. What is the benefit? It just, you know, they have nothing to live for, nothing to gain. Like what, they're all going to go and hold their fist up and work for nothing? Just, you know, we're going to work and we're going to get our little tin of food. And we're going to get to live in our little poor man's shack. That's what Marxism promises. It is such a lie. Communism is the imposition and control of all wealth. All wealth coming, going. The product and the capital to build it all belongs to the government. What is the desire? This is why communism has got to use violence, because it's so contrary to nature. Western culture is their number one enemy. That is Christian, Judeo-Christian based roots. That's who we are. They know that Western culture has to be destroyed. And folks, trust me, it is. They've started to absolutely propagate the homosexual family. The two gay parent homes are allowed to adopt children. I mean, it's embedded in the schools. The schools and the media is where it's taken place, folks. It's crazy. So they're determined to destroy the family structure. Which leaves people no refuge and nowhere to turn, which forces them to turn to the government to help them. And, it's really cultural terrorism. They've come after us heavy with sexual education, you know, anti-religious, and they teach everybody tolerance to everything. It's led to heavy drug use, sexual revolution. The drug war is being lost like never before. The more money we put in, the worse it gets. It's hard for me because I talked to a friend of mine who's deeply involved in it, and he's a soldier essentially fighting the war. And when I'm on the outside looking in, it's frustrating for him to talk about because he just thinks that, you know, there's a three-pronged approach to it. As long as kids are getting faced with the drugs, they have to make the decisions. And you know, we have countless people waiting to get them in their hands. These people, we've obviously proven that no laws seem to stop the drug flow. So what does that tell us? When people need their drugs, are they criminals? I don't know. I really struggle with that. I personally think it's an escape for people. I think people have all kinds of baggage and problems. I think, you know, there's countries like Portugal that has legalized everything. They've had severe drops in violent crime. They've had overdoses basically go to zero. They've had, you know, there's things like that. And, you know, you say you can't legislate morality. If people choose in a free nation to do what they want to do, you know, you do have to deal with the consequences of their behavior when it impacts others. But the drug war has just been endless. The amount of money we pour into it is just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars a year. And what's it getting us? It's getting us a huge, you know, people call, talk about the military capitalistic or military industrial military complex. There's also the industrial drug complex. It's It's a humongous power brokering business that's in existence. So that this is all part of de-Christianizing the West, capturing the young. The church gave up in the 60s, you know, movies, R-rated movies, X-rated movies started to hit the scene. LBJ kicked it up with his opposition to the church after JFK was assassinated just as he was going to repeal the Federal Reserve Act. I mean, there are men in our history that were going to make a difference that were killed. And JFK was one of them. He got killed by, Ruby. And there was so many socialistic ties there, it wasn't even funny. But those inside the government hid it and covered it up. We get these people in government positions that apparently love power more than anything else, or they get caught up in sin and people can hold it over their head, and then they become manipulatable and where they can be coerced and extorted to do things that aren't right. The corruption in our government, I had this talk again, like I said, with a guy yesterday, and all the corruption of the Clintons, I mean, folks, what happens with politics is people want to hear what they want to hear. They don't want to know the truth. They just want to be fed lies. We are facing such a crisis in this nation to have a leader like we're looking at. If Hillary Clinton gets in office, the level of corruption is insane. And for people to have lowered the bar to a point where they'll tolerate anything, and I'll admit, I mean, the media propped up Donald Trump, and the guy has some weaknesses. I mean, he's got an ego that's a mile high. He's ungodly in ways. And I look at him and I think, okay, well, God's maybe choosing this guy for a position of power. Maybe it's what we need. Maybe we need someone who is a true disruptor to come in and shake things up. Maybe that's what we need. You know, we should probably give it a shot. The left-wing punishment to him and his family, I guess, has been pretty brutal. His daughter's getting boycotted. And, you know, people just get so fired up over politics. And we've got so many minorities in this nation now that are just convinced the Republican Party is their enemy. And the Republicans are confused. They don't know what they stand for. They don't even know how to communicate to people what they can provide. Free market provides jobs, the minimum wage increase. All these things have effect on business. And, you know, I can't even begin to tell you how we've just transformed. Our founding fathers literally would be baffled. When you talk about cultural Marxism, it's the implantation of ideas and concepts of what they call collectivism, which is all of us. You turn to the government as the big solver of all your problems. The government forces compliance through coercion, just as, you know, schools use, you know, groupthink. If you step out of line, then the whole group puts pressure on you to come back into line. This is how the government works. Police, as we know, are becoming more and more authoritarian. The courts are becoming more and more authoritarian. Courts don't have any desire. There's very few judges that believe that their job on the bench is to most effectively defend people's constitutional rights. Most of them have forgotten what that is. So they've taken away our free will, and the government tells us what we do, when we do it, how we do it, etc. That is the implementation of communistic socialism. It's individualism versus communism, freedom versus coercion, God versus man. That's what you have to realize. This is what's going on. It explains everything. They have critical theory where they teach people, challenge every previous accepted standard in society from a Marxist perspective. They criticize our founders. They question all of our values. The goals of Marxism, quote, number one, destroy the family. Number two, destroy private property. Destroy religion. Destroy the nation. You think about it. They've been so effective. Why we plug into the TV and media like we do, I cannot explain what the desire is there. TVs are the altar of worship in most homes. We worship. If, you know, I remember years back thinking if aliens came and watched us and saw what we did, they would say they worship this box. it with blue light in their main rooms. They worship this box. They watch this box. This box tells them what to think, what to do, what to wear. This box makes them laugh. This box makes them cry. It's sad, folks. There's God made us with different minds. We need to read and think. When we watch TV, we don't think. We open up our mind. There's even a certain pulse rate that most accurately catches our attention and holds our attention. They want to destroy private property. They're taxing the heck out of private property. We've got eminent domain. They've got all these ways to make it harder and harder. The debt level that people have on that is crazy, especially with the fiat currency system where all dollars are created with debt. They are destroying religion. I mean, you see this stuff now that they all these court rulings that people, they don't even understand the Constitution. The Constitution is that your religious right of expression is protected first and foremost on government property. They're starting to do this separation in church and state thing, some ridiculous clause which is drastically misquoted out of context from a Thomas Jefferson letter to a Baptist minister. He never said, I mean, if you just read the letter, you know what he, I mean, it's obvious what he meant. He meant the government will never be able to touch you. Well, we're breaking all the rules now, folks. And, you know, their ultimate goal is to destroy the nation. But I want you to think of something. When Ben Franklin walked out of the Constitutional Congress and the lady said, "What kind of government did you give us, sir?" He said, "A republic, ma'am, if you can keep it." Remember that. He knew. A republic, ma'am, if you can keep it. It takes energy and effort and blood and tears to save and preserve and protect a republic. When people begin to change the minds of the youth, now think about it. Do they teach our kids what to think or how to think? They teach them what to think. What if they taught them to go to the original source of material and everything? Go read the Constitution. Go read the history of the Founding Fathers. Get to know what the heck they stood for. Our Supreme Court has been converted to the usurpation of the constitutional authority, stripping all the authority from the states, according to the 10th Amendment. Hillary Clinton will literally, I believe, fully destroy any remaining semblance of our American history. I believe there's a possibility. If we lose the House and the Senate, that this could be absolute devastation. Communism's always threatened to destroy America from within. I remember learning that when I was young, and they said they'd do it. And everybody said, communism is dead. Well, the theory isn't dead. Communism is an economic system where the state or government owns the means, which is the capital, and the fruits of production. Then they distribute it to a classless society. You got to remember it's all theory because it doesn't work in practice. But it's a far-left authoritarian political economic system popularized by Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels in the Communist Manifesto of 1848. Communism owns the means and fruits of production. Socialism owns just the fruits of production through taxation. Socialism taxes, okay? A free market does not. A fascist state literally rapes the people through debt. They steal against their will. Both socialistic and fascist states use taxes. Debt causes inflation. Inflation is a hidden tax. We have government debt IOUs that get converted to bonds that basically get converted to debt for every dollar that we spend. We owe, it hangs on the back of the general public. I've explained if you have a family of five, your family owes about $330,000 in debt on the national deficit. The Federal Reserve Bank regulates and manipulates all the money against the will of the people. They don't do what the people want. They do what they want. Our money's being continuously diluted or inflated, which reduces the purchasing power, which leads to rising prices in goods. Inflation is a hidden tax. Remember that. In the Constitution, Congress was given the responsibility to protect the general welfare of the people. We are burdened by over 25,000 federal laws per year. That's per year. That's just federal laws. Most are paid for by corporations. They say that if you look at city, state, county, national, federal, whatever laws, that we create like 3,000 a week. The primary responsibility of the government is not to provide, but to protect. Now think about it. Our Constitution says the job of the government's to protect. And according to the Constitution, the government should be so small that we just border right on the brink of anarchy. They just protect us. But now that's grown. Now, are there some things they should have taken on? Sure there are. As the country got bigger, there were needs. But their job is not to provide. In order to provide to one, they have to take from another. And when people don't get that, I don't get it. I don't understand if people are raised this way. I wasn't raised anyway. I had a liberal bent, and then I started to do my research in college, and I became conservative before I became a believer, only because it made sense. I was like, personal responsibility, that's where it lies, you know? And so if the government provides, it must take. When Hillary Clinton says, pay your fair share, you got to remember, like I said the other day, they decide how to spend what you pay as your fair share. They decide how to spend your money. The government becomes the vehicle of redistribution. That is what taxes are. We've gotten all these social entitlement programs that are out of control. Over 50% of the public is significantly on the dole from the U.S. government. Over 50% is getting a substantial amount of money, which influences their ability to vote and think. You've got the media pumping them with socialist mindset. You've got, you know, the schools pumping them with it. You've got everywhere you turn. The system in general is pounding these people with a socialistic thought process. You know, tolerance and diversity and, you know, don't be proud of your heritage. Be proud of diversity. You'll be proud of everybody else's heritage, but not your own, especially if you're a native-born American. We, honestly, I mentioned last week, we do accept, I think, income taxes far too peaceably. They can jack them up 20%, we'll just be paying them. We're brainwashed to be good socialists because we're willing to pay our taxes. You know, you think about hyperinflation coming. You know, they get these tax brackets put in and you're like, well, that doesn't affect me. That's for the uber rich guy. Right now it is, but in 15 years it won't be. You know, these tax brackets, it's really unbelievable, folks, how far this has come in this nation. And yes, it's been further and it's been worse in the past, but that is not our goal. That's not our standard. So we've got, you know, we're spread thin across the world. They're basically breaking down the family. You know, fathers are portrayed in the media as overbearing and controlling. Mothers, you know, as overly emotional and, unbalanced. And they invalidate the female. They promote pessimism towards the family. There's a cultural pessimism. Families are, you know, lame and boring, and mothers and fathers just get in the way of your fun. And, you know, divorce is a totally normal part of society, and kids grow up in single parent homes, and that's okay. We've got cultural decay, you know, where movies portray divorce, improper balance of relationships between males and females, cheating males, males that are gay, female lesbians, all this stuff. You guys know exactly what I'm talking about. I probably don't need to continue on this path. So we're making people tolerant of social dysfunction. And honestly, divorce creates incredibly inefficient economic units. In other words, you take a family that's, you know, two-income family, which is another story. That started after World War II. It was always a one-income family. The men left. They asked the women to work to help with the war. They came back. They said, look, I can keep this job. We'll get two incomes. We can get a nice car, a nice house. And then pretty soon they began to hyperinflate currency until it became more and more necessary to have two incomes to get by, as they transposed us from prior to the Fed, folks, cash, cash, cash. Cash was king. You never bought a house on credit, really. I mean, occasionally maybe, but it was such an anomaly. You saved and then you bought. Now it's debt, debt, debt. Schools are being, you know, controlled by the state. That's all communism. What they should be controlled by the parents. The parents should have the latitude to move their kids out of a school that's not performing to their standards. That's why the left hates the concept of charter schools and vouchers. They hate it. They don't want you to be able to move, and they don't want you to vote with your feet. That's democracy. They shouldn't be able to tell you where to put your child. That's your business. It's your child. Way back when I had my children in school, I ran into situations where they tried to tell me what they could do with my child during certain hours during the day. They can't. But boy, they think they can. They're confused. And they'll try to use the system and exercise it against you. They don't have that right, but they think they do. So, you know, you've all heard the story, like I said, Friday. Give a man a fish, feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, feed him for a lifetime. The more something gets subsidized, if you subsidize poverty, you get more of it. You subsidize business development, entrepreneurialism, you get more of it. That's where, you know, the old days where everybody had their shingle hung. Everybody had a business. Everybody had a service. Some people worked for the businesses, but America was the conglomeration of small business. As we got bigger starting in probably the 70s, really, is when the hyperinflation kicked in and debt became so prevalent, especially at corporate levels. Companies began to buy up, consume, merge. And now we're in situations where we have these companies that are worth, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars, or like Apple, that's worth $1 trillion. Absolute monopoly. And it doesn't make service better per se. So, when the government tries to help through welfare, as good as the intention may be, it creates poor, non-working government dependence. Another issue that is, I think, is irrelevant is Congress has turned its power to declare war over to the executive branch. The executive branch of president has grown and grown and grown into a dictatorship. This is the product of a two-party system, which is the product of socialistic mindset. Capitalism, socialism. Republican, Democrat. Republican says the rules of law are firm and untenable. The Democrats say whatever the people want, the people get. Like a bunch of spoiled children, like you or I, know how to run the government. You know, it's really foolish. We need experts up there to make the system flow and work right. We need people working together to make America a better place. I do agree Donald Trump seems quite antagonistic, but Hillary is highly socialistic, so you have to take your pick. My attitude is, what do we got to lose by throwing a guy like that in office? The corruption of the Clintons is beyond the fathom. I'm afraid this election may be stolen. Two concerns I have. One is that it's stolen. Two is that it gets so down to the wire that it becomes an absolute blow-for-blow match. And I don't know. I really hope that this country, I mean, we're on the brink, folks, of revolt. I mean, I really feel like we're there. And on those lines, we have dealt, I mean, basically, this is why our founding fathers gave us the Second Amendment, right? They say a well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state. It's the only amendment that says being necessary, necessary for a free state, necessary for a free state. That means without it, we don't have a free state. The Second Amendment matters above all else. Now, there's people that will listen to me on the radio and they'll say, oh my gosh, this guy's a kook. He's encouraging people to do what? I don't know. But folks, that's not the case at all. I'm just reading to you the Founding Fathers' statements. It's very clear that we are to bear arms to protect ourselves from a foreign invasion and from being overrun by tyrannical government leadership. It doesn't mean we have to go kill them all, but it does mean we just to band together and stand in front of the White House and say, all right, you've abused your, you know, your service, get out. But now, because it's a two-party system, they're protected by the party. The conversation I had last night with this guy who was a flaming lefty was unbelievable. I mean, there is no logic. They do the what about this guy, what about that guy. You have a conversation about one person, and they deviate. The topic just kept changing and changing and changing because I had an answer for everything they came up with. And they just keep moving the target and moving the target. It's dirty. It's not good conversation. It's just a really weaselly form of communication that they use. And the fact of the matter is that the Constitution says that the Second Amendment is necessary for a free state. And the opposite is true, like I said. It's the response. In other words, without it, we have no government. Responsibility of the states to form nationally and defend borders. In other words, the states have the responsibility to come together when it's time to defend itself. All the Air National Guards or the of each state should unite when we need to protect our borders. That's the purpose of the Air National Guard. The statewide militia has its job is to defend the borders of the country, if you border that, and also to defend the state. It's an obligation to keep and bear arms to protect this country. You know, and then it goes on, it says, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed upon. Hillary is on record stating that she absolutely believes that the right to bear arms needs to be removed. This is scary stuff. It's got to be reversed. And folks, we've been through generations where the older generation will regain an election and they'll repeal the Brady Bill and things like that. We're getting now to the newest, youngest generation that doesn't know what or how to do anything. The Declaration of Independence says that when a government becomes tyrannical or destructive to the rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, it is the duty of the people to alter or abolish it. And I think we're getting there. I really do. But I think the brainwashing is crazy. I don't think our founding fathers ever suspected that we would have attorneys that would argue about the definition of what the word is, as in Bill Clinton. You know, this stuff's crazy. We alter this nation, hypothetically, by voting out unconstitutional politicians when they usurp the Constitution. But that's how we have the right to abolish the improper government. We revoke the power of government through our vote. But the two-party system is beginning to take that away from us, or it has already. It's, you know, you can't go up against a member of the Democratic Party who's broken 17 laws because you got to fight the whole Democratic Party. They won't impeach somebody properly for perjuring themselves as President of the United States. You know, we've got Keynesian economics, which is, so I mentioned you got Darwinism, then you got Marxism. The final straw was Keynesian economics, which he said, quote, this is the necessary ingredient for Marxism to prevail. So this is where we're at now. We'll pick that up on Wednesday, the Keynesian economic aspect of it. They print money from thin air to confiscate all privately held assets. They've created title ownership, loan collateral, all the wars that we see are methods to propagate fear, to accept the expansion of our government authority against some enemy. And why we put down our arms and say, do whatever you need, it's crazy. I mean, it really is crazy that we're so afraid of terrorism and whatever it may be, drug wars, whatever is the hot topic, We're so afraid of it. And folks, last I didn't even get to it, is, you know, this Halloween thing. I don't know who you are. It's not cute. It's a demonic holiday. It's the high holy day of Satanists. And don't fool yourself. Don't say it's just a cute day. You can do harvest parties or whatever as an alternative, but don't participate, please. This is not a good day. I should have done a show on it. I didn't think of it. Preferred that I wish I would have. So it's an old Druid, you know, tradition. Trust me, you're either all for God or not. Christ would not be appeased by it. I'll tell you, I've been to other countries on this day. Terrifying, terrifying, terrifying. The Day of the Dead. It's unbelievable. So please reject any involvement. Don't dress your kids up like little goblins and things and walk them around. It's not. It's ungodly and it's unrighteous. I know it'll break your kids' hearts if you've already committed. Our kids grew up without it. They did great. We'd go to church harvest parties. We'd make it a nice family night together or do a dinner and a movie or whatever. But we always shut off the lights at our house and left and let people walk by. They can go participate elsewhere. So thanks for tuning in. As always, Coins Plus does, you know, 401ks, IRAs, investment portfolios, wealth and capital preservation. We're good at it. We help you build a savings account like nothing other. We can be reached at 444-0044 or toll-free 877-TAP-COIN or through our website at coinsplus.com. Again, folks, there's nothing long-term like what we build. I mean, we build phenomenal portfolios. I've been doing this for decades. I've seen people just do incredibly well. I've done well with myself, my friends, my family. It's good to go. And balance is the key. With everything in life, balance is the key. So give us a call. Let us help you out. You can start with a little. You don't have to start with a lot. Just whatever helps you get going. We'd appreciate helping you out and keeping you on a good, solid biblical financial basis. So once again, it's Halloween. Please stay out. Goodbye. Good night. God bless.